The Good News Hour greets you once again. Your speaker today is Evangelist Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas, and we want to bring you another message from God's precious, holy, and unerring Word. It is our purpose to follow along the lines that we had before us in our last message to you. We saw in the 15th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles how that some false teachers had come down and had upset the Christians or the saints by their teaching, attempting to show them, or at least to tell them, that unless they were circumcised and kept the law of Moses, they could not be saved. And then we further saw from the scriptures that the Apostle Peter, Paul, and others there, sent by God, met in conference to settle this problem. It was settled once for all, and of course they were in perfect agreement that the salvation of God, forgiveness, everlasting life, is obtained on no such ground whatsoever as these false teachers were attempting to promulgate. In other words, see, the Apostle Peter says, "Why tempt ye God?" This is really tempting God. "Why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon yourselves, which neither ye nor the disciples were able to bear?" And then again, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ said on one occasion when he was here, "Moses gave you the law, and none of you keepeth it." Now we're going to see from the Word of God the distinction between the dispensation of law and grace. For instance, the Ten Commandments, the moral law, sets forth the full measure of man's responsibility Godward. And, of course, that's emphasized in the first four commandments. And then, in the last six commandments, we have the full measure of man's responsibility toward his neighbors. Now, it is true that the law demanded perfect love to God. Love with all one's heart, soul, strength, and mind, and then love to his neighbor as himself. Now, in the dispensation of the grace of God, it's so entirely different. When a man or a woman embraces Christ, comes as a lost sinner, and at the end of himself, and after having spent his own resources, trusts the merits of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the work that he accomplished upon Calvary's cross, that person becomes an heir of God, a joint heir with our Lord Jesus Christ. That soul becomes one of his dear children. And this is the result of that relationship. The Apostle John, who writes more about love than perhaps any of the other apostles, he is the apostle of love, and even in his gospel he brings before us love, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then in his epistles, he does bring before us a great deal about that love. And in his epistle, he says, "We love him," writing, of course, to the family, to the Christians, to the saved. He says, "We love him because he first loved us." Now, this was not true of us naturally. We did not love God. Paul, in his epistle, tells us that when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Yes, reconciliation has been brought about by the death of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And now, in turn, we can say we love, in other words, we love him because he first loved us, and then, in turn, there's love to all his dear children, love to his own, love for the perishing as well. Now, I want to notice a few contrasts, if you will, between the dispensation of the law and of grace. And, of course, that's one of the strong points, what we have already been noticing here, that the law demanded love but could not furnish it, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ bestows upon us God's favor and fills our hearts with love to him and the desire to do for him, and gives us the capacity to do it. Then, too, I should like to remind you that in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, and about verse 2, we read this amazing statement, "For what the law could not do." Now, exactly what could not the law do? The law could not save a sinner. Now, if you turn to the epistle of James, very interesting, in the fourth chapter of that marvelous epistle, James says there is one lawgiver that is able to save and able to destroy. Now, I should like to have you notice, though, he did not say that there is one law able to save, but he said one lawgiver. And we have already seen, and it has been established, that the law cannot, does not save mankind. What it does is condemn. The law condemns the worst of men or the best of men. And grace saves the very worst possible. So that in Romans chapter 8, if you were minded to turn to it, and in about verse 2, you would read this amazing word, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son." God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now the law could not save. The Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, can save, and he does save. Yes, blessed be God. If you were to turn to this seventh chapter of the epistle to the Hebrews in verse 25, we read, "Wherefore he," Jesus, "is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Now, by the way, I want you to come again and see a contrast between the law and the dispensation of grace. Now, in the epistle of Paul to the Galatians in verse 21, we read this statement, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, then righteousness should have been by the law. Now, that's simple, is it not? And very plain, too. If there had been a law given which could have given life, then we are told, plainly told, that righteousness would have been by the law. Since there was no law given that could give life, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and gave his life. "I am come," says the Lord Jesus, "that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I lay down my life of myself. No man taketh it from me. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again." Now, very quickly, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain," or "Christ died for nothing." Now, have we not seen two very precious and outstanding facts? First, that life does not come via the law. There was no law given that could have given life. Otherwise, righteousness would have been by the law. Now he goes on further to say, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law," in other words, if the law could have furnished righteousness, then Christ died for nothing. And then if you were to turn to the 10th chapter of the epistle of Paul to the Romans and read at verse 4, this amazing statement, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth." And then, too, I should like to remind you that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, quickly, and we'll have to hurry, but in that same epistle of Paul to the Galatians, he does tell us something I think that's very interesting and very, very precious, too. And we have already been noticing, of course, that salvation and eternal life is apart from works, apart from human merit, but by grace alone. Now listen to this. "For if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. So that no man, no woman, born of the Spirit or led of the Spirit is under the law." We are under the dispensation of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's an attempt on the part of so many to attempt to be under law and under grace at the same time. In other words, to say, "Well, I believe Christ had to die all right, but of course it's necessary to supplement or to add to his work my work and my efforts and my attainment, and thus the death of Christ plus my work may give me a favor or a standing in his presence." But this is so contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. Listen to this quickly. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Now, I want to go back just a moment. In verse 5, it says, even so, then, at the present time, there is a dispensation or a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. You cannot mingle the two together. If you put yourself under the law, then you are not under grace. And oh, we'd like to introduce you to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You'd find those words in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. How rich he was, oh, how poor he became, that you through his poverty might be rich. You could be enriched with heaven's riches and fitted for the glory land. So that according to the truth of God then, salvation, forgiveness, righteousness, and life come to us on the basis of grace. They come to us through our Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, if you enjoyed the message you've been listening to and you'd like further spiritual help, drop us a line. The following address will reach us. Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas.